good. The Lord is good all the time. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? I want to teach you two very, 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 very simple signs. And I hope that you can remember those forever. Just two. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's easy to remember that, eh? Very easy. Very simple, right? Or am I wrong? Right? Say amen.
Amen.
The second one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With an L shape like that. Praise the Lord. That's it. Like Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, what's the sign for amen? Okay, what's the sign for praise the Lord? All right. All right. You get an A plus. I'm very excited to be here in the house of the Lord. Are you excited to be here in the house of the Lord? No matter, you know, the snow, regardless of, you're just excited to be here and enthusiastic to worship Him. Amen? Amen? It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. David, in the Bible, said, I will rejoice when people say, let us come to the house of the Lord. Doesn't that just give you goosebumps all over? It's very exciting to come to the house of the Lord. True? The Lord blesses you for coming to worship with Him. And that's why I've asked my wife to sing, come, worship Him. Come, worship the Lord. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of respect. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Amen? I was planning to show you during Sunday school a PowerPoint presentation about my work both in Puerto Rico and in Nigeria. That was during Sunday school. But unfortunately that was canceled, so that has been postponed 2 weeks from today. Okay?
Okay.
All right, this is good? All right. Let me introduce myself for just a little bit. My name is Job Ayantola. And my wife is Bukola. We have three sons. All three are married. The eldest has two boys. The middle one has two boys. And the third one has one on the way, which is due in July. Maybe it's a girl. Boys, 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 boys. Yeah, we haven't had any girls yet. Regardless, the important thing is that they're healthy, and we thank God regardless for what He has given us. Amen? I worked at Northwestern Connecticut Community College for 29 years with Paul. And Sharla was my former student. How many years ago was that, Sharla? All right, 25 years ago. Yeah, and I'm very happy to see that the both of them are here and worshiping them together, and they're my interpreters. And I worked there, and I retired 3 years ago. The Lord put a burden on my heart to serve deaf people, both in Puerto Rico and in Africa. And so I set up an organization called the Deaf Christian Evangelistic Association. Before I tell you more about that, before myself, I would like to take a look at the Bible and pray with you, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17... 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, in sign, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Amen? Amen and amen.
Wow.
Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you so, so much for the opportunity to gather here to worship you in the spirit of truth. We thank you so, so much for your continued faithfulness and love on those of us gathered here. As it says in the Bible, where two or three people are gathered in your name, you are already with us. No matter the number of people here, no matter the reason for those who might not have been able to show up, but you are with us. And we praise you. We thank you for those people who couldn't be here for whatever reason. We pray that you would take care of all of them. Maybe there are physical problems, there might be other problems, family problems. Well, for whatever reason, we know that you will be taking care of them, and you will help them to know that you are with them. Father, this morning, as we ready our minds and prepare our hearts and open our hearts and minds wide open for whatever that you would say in your word, that you would touch each heart here, especially the people who are here who do not yet know Jesus. Touch each of them and draw them to yourself so that they can be saved before it's too late. Because as you said in the Bible, that you don't want anyone to be lost, but you want all to be saved. And that is your desire, and that is your idea, and that is your plan. Lord, speak to their hearts through the power of the Spirit this morning, no matter whether they have received Christ in their lives or if they have strayed away from the Lord. Nudge them and remind them that you still love them, and give them a reason to come back to you. Make them strong so that they can worship you from here on. And bless us as we are prepared to listen or obey to whatever you have to speak to us in our hearts. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen and amen. Change. What is change? What change means? A becoming, or making a difference, or making something different. You and I grew up experiencing by seeing many, many changes. Lots of things happening throughout your life, am I right? I remember when I first came here to America in 1976, that a postage stamp at that time, I think, was about 12 cents. No, it was only 8 cents. And now it's 44 cents? Wow. I remember a long time ago when gasoline was so cheap, it was under a dollar. And now it's like almost $3. Food, everything has changed. You and I have bodies that, remember when we were looking at your picture from a long time ago? You were nice and slender, and now a little bit extra here around the middle, and you're older, and maybe a loss of hair, and you look at those pictures and you say, wow, there's a difference there. Deaf people tend to be very blunt. When you see a person, you say, oh, yeah, I remember you were thin, and now you're really fat. What happened to you? That's normal in deaf culture. Have you met a deaf person that would tell you something like that before? I know Sharla has, and Paul has. That's deaf culture. And it's normal for us. But in hearing culture, you can't say something like that. Oh, you're really fat. No, you can't say that, right? Oh, you look so nice. You look so different. And we tend to obfuscate. Now, let's focus on the spirit of change. I want to share with you how my life changed. And then I'm going to challenge you and how you have changed and who can change you. I grew up in Nigeria. I was born in Nigeria. I grew up as a Muslim. How many of you have Muslim friends? It's really hard to pull people like that to Christ, you know, through prayer, through your love. Yeah, but you can change them that way. So I grew up practicing Islam. I was involved. My mother and father went to the mosque 5 times every day. We went to the mosque with mom and dad. All right. We fasted every year for 30 days, and I practiced that religion with them, and I grew up, and at the age of 11, there was a deaf school that was established by a deaf American missionary, and I'll show you a picture of him and his family, if you could display that, please. Oops, got to get my clicker here. There we go. This fellow here is named Andrew Foster. And his wife, if you could roll that back just one. Yep. Okay. And here is his wife, Bertha, and they had 5 children. Andrew is an American, and he's deaf. He went to my home country, Nigeria, in 1960. Right. I entered his school at age 11. Imagine that, 11. I was kind of late. That guy brought the gospel and education to my home country. I learned to read and write, you know, and he preached to me the gospel of Jesus. That man passed away in 1987. He was in an airplane crash. And he is now with the Lord. He really changed my life. He had a powerful influence on me and what I am today. That man forced me to become involved in missionary service. So I thank God for that man. Yeah. About 3 weeks ago, his wife, Bertha, passed away, and they have, but their 5 children are still alive, plus they have 13 grandchildren. Now, both Bucky and I went into school at age 11. There is a picture of the two of us. Okay, and in Sunday school, I was planning to ask the 2 or 3 people to come out up and take a look at this picture carefully, see if they could find me in that picture, and where Bacola was in that picture also. I don't have time to do that. I wish I was able to, but I'll point it out to you. Here's me. There I am, right there. That's me. Yeah. And Bacola, my wife, is right there. All right. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. We entered school, and they taught us to read and write. They preached the gospel to us. And that man there, Andrew Foster. All right. Thank you. You can take that picture down now. So as I grew up and learning to read and write, and I was preached about Jesus, I would go home and I would tell my father, "Hey, you know, at school they're telling me about this guy named Jesus." My father said, No, you don't change, you don't convert. You are going to stay a Muslim. You are going to follow me and our family. All right? You listen to me. You understand? Okay, Dad. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fine. All right? So I went to school, they just kept preaching to me about Jesus, and I kept resisting that, you know, because I remember that my mom and dad had warned me about this. So I graduated from that school, and I went to a technical school. And one day, I remember it was a Wednesday, one guy, a hearing guy, came up to me, and he wrote, now, my name, that my given name that my father gave was not Job. My father gave me the name Rashidi. Okay? So this guy was writing to me. He says, Rashidi, he says, I want to invite you to a camp. So I'm looking at this card, and I say, camp, what's this camp all about? And he said, it's a Christian camp. And I said, really? No, thank you, because I remembered what my father had warned me about. I said, no thanks. All right? And this guy said, please, come with us. And I said, no. I kept turning him down. And finally he said, okay, listen, I'm going to ask the technical school principal to see if he would permit me, because knowing in the back of my head, he's probably going to say no. So I wrote to the principal, can I go to my friend for the weekend to this camp? And I presented it to the principal. He takes a look at it. He says, no. I said, oh, go. No, okay, great. And I had to show this to my friend, and he was very, very dejected and brokenhearted. I said, good, I'm off the hook. He's not going to bother me anymore. But the next day, the principal comes up to me, and he says, hey, Rashidi, you can go. But yesterday, Wednesday, you told me no, and now you're telling me I can go. And so that kind of confused me. And I told my friend, and he was delighted, and he was all excited. And I said, maybe he's a little crazy. All right, so I go to this Christian camp. And the people were just so friendly. They're so welcoming. They showed me to my room where my bed was. And I thought, these people are really nuts. Okay. All right, fine. So I sit down, and the word is being preached. Same old thing that Andrew Foster was telling me. Yeah, it's the same old thing. Okay, and same old thing my father warned me. I'm not to convert. Okay, so I sat there, and I had a heart of stone. So, I go to bed. The next day, I'm sitting again, and my friend is writing to me, and I remember he mentioned Muhammad. He mentioned Pope John. He mentioned Buddha. You know, all of these famous religious leaders throughout history, that they all had passed away. They all died, and they were dead in the grave, and they're still in the grave. The only one, Jesus, had risen again. And he said, if anyone believes in Jesus, though he died, he will also rise again. And I read that, and I said, I want to rise again. I don't want to stay dead in the grave. Right? So, yeah. Muhammad, this guy that I had worshipped and followed, this great person, he was dead and he's still in the grave. Right, he never rose again, but Jesus was the only one who had risen again. I want to rise again. And so after that service, I went right up to the pastor and I said, now let me make it clear, you said that all these guys that you had mentioned, that they had all passed away, but Jesus was the only one who rose again. Is that right? And if I believe him, even though I die, I will rise again? And the preacher said, yes, you will. And I said, what do I do to get that? He says, very simple. Just ask him to forgive your sins and ask him to come in your life. That's it. I said, that's it. I knelt right on the spot and I said, Lord, I'm sorry for rejecting you. I believe you. Come into my heart. I can't explain to you the experience, the chills that came up in my arms. At that moment, I was filled with joy, and I realized that I'm crazy too. All this time that I had pointed fingers at those other people, I pointed finger at myself, I'm crazy too. And I was really excited. I went back to the school. I started going to church regularly and learning as much as I can. I was hungry for Christ. I was hungry. I wanted them to teach me more. And then school is going to be closed for vacation. I have to go home. All right. Do I tell my parents or do I keep shut about it? Now, understand, in Islam, the rule is, it's very, very strict, right? If anybody in your family converts out of Islam, you could be beheaded or you could be disowned from your family. It's a very strict rule. And, of course, I didn't want that, you know, so should I tell? You know, I asked my new friend, you know, if I should tell my parents, you know, what should I do when I go? And he says, yeah, you got to tell your parents that you have converted, that you're a follower of Jesus. Now, you have to tell them that. And I said, geez, I don't know. I don't know if I want to tell them. I don't know if I can do this. I'm afraid. And he said, it's all right. Let's pray about this. You know, you must tell your parents. Don't worry. Trust God. He'll take care of you. Go tell your parents. It'll be okay. Okay, so I should tell them, eh? Okay, all right. So a few days later, after I had calmed down and school was closed for the holiday, I go home. And my father says, Rashidi, how was school? Oh, school's fine, Dad. Oh, so? Everything's fine. What are you learning? Yeah, fine, Dad. And so, you know, my knees are shaking, and Dad, I remember that I had been going, you know, with you to the mosque, and I have to stop doing that now. What? Well, Dad, I'm now a follower of Jesus, and I've been going to church. I'm not a Muslim anymore. I'm not going to go to the mosque anymore. Father said, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that." Dad, I've decided. I've made the decision to follow Jesus. I can't be involved with your religion anymore. I can't. I've made this decision. No. All right, my mother, my brothers, my sisters all came to me, all came up one by one. You can't change, Rashidi. You were born Muslim. You're going to die a Muslim. You understand? No, I've made this decision to follow Jesus, folks. I can't follow Islam anymore. I've converted. And they were enraged. All right, thank God they didn't take my head off. And I was surprised that I wasn't disowned either. They didn't kick me out of the family. Now, I should tell you that I was wondering why they did not disown me. You know, why they didn't behead me. I was puzzled by this. I didn't understand it. Years and years and years later, I found out. But the point is that I had converted. I told them I was a follower of Jesus. And that I have decided I needed to pick a new name. And so, I went to the Bible, I opened it up to the book of Job, and I picked that name to be my Christian name. Whew. Good thing I didn't open to Esther, or another strange name. So, I picked that name, Job. My life had really changed, and I can't explain to you. I mean, you believers who have accepted Jesus into your heart and have had that experience, you are different, right? And I don't have the words to explain to you. It was just an awesome, awesome thing. And so years and years and years later, I asked one of my younger brothers, I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time now, and they didn't behead me, they didn't disown me from the family. Why didn't that happen? My younger brother says, well, we read the Quran, and the Quran says that all handicapped people will go to heaven. So it's not worth it to bother them, leave them alone. Right. Oh, really? Really? Wow. Wow. You all right? So my deafness saved my life. So, interesting. Interesting. And funny, too. It was 2008. All right. My younger sister flew here to America. For my second son's wedding. All right, that was 2008, and I had accepted Jesus in 1969, and I had changed my name that same year. Well, actually, it was a year later. In 1970, I changed my name. All right, and she knew that, She'd known this all along. So here we are in 2008. She comes and she says, hey, your name is Job, eh? I said, yeah, sister, my name is Job. She says, you know what? You remember your old name, Rashidi? Do you know what that name actually means? I said, well, why are you telling me this now, sister? You know, this was like many years ago. Why are you telling me this now? You know, Rashidi, I don't want to represent, you know, my Muhammad identity. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ now. She says, no, that's not the point, Job. Okay, you know what the name means, Rashidi. And I said, no, all right. Type it into the computer. And under Islam, type in the name Rashidi and see what it says. Okay, so I go to my computer and I call this up and I look and it says, and what it means is teacher.
Thou
righteous teacher. Wow, teacher. Right? And it fit me. So, well, now I want to focus on my changed life and those experiences that changed my life. And I want to challenge you, because the Bible has four ways that God wants to use that experience. Four different ways. For new life. And I want you to have a new life. That's what God desires for you. Remember, before sin entered the world, God made Adam and Eve perfect. Perfect. And God wants that kind of perfection, but unfortunately, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, through their lives. And it's been passed on from generation to generation to us today. But thank God that He made a way. He offers His Son, Jesus Christ. He offered Him to you, my friends. God wants you to live a new life. The old life has passed away. He doesn't want you to live that old life. In Ephesians chapter 20, in verse... Chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, it says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth as in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation and the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants you to live a righteous life, a truthful and clean life. That's His desire for you. Friends, if you want to experience a new life, to experience that wonderful relationship with God, once you gain that experience, your attitude, your behavior, your thinking is going to be completely new. The old thoughts, the old attitudes, the old behaviors will be passed away. The second point is, there's a new enthusiasm. You will experience a new enthusiasm wanting to learn more about Him. Like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, I'm eager to know Him, to experience His suffering. I want to be a part of His death. Paul craved that. And that new experience can happen when you experience that new life, that new enthusiasm of being involved in missionary work, of being involved in witnessing, in touching people for Christ. you gain this fire and enthusiasm. Third point, in this new experience, there will be a new relationship with God. In chapter John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12, all right, he said that if you believe in him, you will become, the Bible verse says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You will have a deep connection with him. Once you receive Jesus into your heart, he will say, you are my son, or you are my daughter. We have this relationship now, and it will grow. It will build. If you want, this will happen. All right. A new relationship with people. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, chapter 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You will have this new experience, this new relationship with people. You will love one another. He has commanded us to love one another. The more that you love one another, the more that people will know that you are a true follower of him. The world out there is a dark place, right? People can see love through you and me. So my friends, God wants you to experience new life. He wants you to experience a new enthusiasm. He wants you to experience a new relationship with people and with him. This is what he really wants. He can't force you to do it. It's your decision. You decide, I want to change. I want this new life with you. I want this new enthusiasm. I want this new relationship with you and this new relationship with people. This is what I want. God is here and he's ready to change you. God changed me. And in the same way, God can change you today. I thank God for that man, Andrew Foster, that I showed you his picture, that he brought me the gospel, but because of him, he led me to accept Christ. From him, to go to that camp, and then finally I understood fully that I could take Jesus into my heart. And years and years and years of experience, I can hardly explain to you the words, through words, there's so much. So my friends, if you have not yet experienced this, try Jesus today. In chapter John, in Gospel of John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but could live forever. So my friends, I love you, right? What more can you give? He wants to change your life. This is what he wants. Do you want this new kind of experience, this new life-changing experience? Ask him today, and he will be happy to change you. Jesus said in Revelation, it says, I stand at the door, and I knock on the door of your heart. I will change. I will come into your heart. I will change. I will eat with you. I will fellowship with you. Jesus said he will be into your heart. All right? And you could say, Lord, I'm open to a new life. I want my old life to pass away. I don't want these old habits, these old thoughts, these old dirty things, these old behaviors, these old attitudes, these awful things. I want to put them away. And I want this new experience in you. I want to please and honor you. I want to see all these people changed and brought to you. Come. Meet with Pastor later on. Meet with me. We would be happy to introduce you to Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord.